Good evening. Am I switched on? Welcome to Have I Got News For You. I hope you're familiar with this panel game and how to play, but tonight we just have one round and it's the odd one out round. So here are your first four. Rugby player Jason Robinson. Comedian Sarah Millican. Actress Dame Judi Dench. And Jesus of Nazareth. Now, just to give you a clue here, the correct answer is not Jesus, because he's the Son of God and the only one who died and rose from the dead. So that's not what the answer is. So anyone got a clue what the answer might be here? Odd one out and why? Yeah, okay, yeah. Good try, but then Jesus is the only one holding a stick, so. You said no, I said the answer wasn't Jesus because of that. Do you want a clue? This is something to do with books. No, not quite. Sorry? Correct. They have all written autobiographies except for Jesus, who had loads of books written about him, but he didn't have time to write down his autobiography. Okay, next four. Author and writer Barry Hines. Olympic gold medalist swimmer Anita Longsborough. Geoffrey Boycott, cricketer. And the Human League. And it's not the Human League because there's more of them than in the other photos, okay? Anyone got a clue? Sorry? You couldn't be more wrong. That's a bit of a clue. Now, they're all from Yorkshire. They're all from Yorkshire. But you're never going to get this in a million years. Shall I put you out of your misery? They're all from Yorkshire. In fact, they're all from not far from where I was born and brought up. But author Barry Hines, who is most famous for writing the book Kestrel for a Knave, that was made into the film Kez decades ago, long before any of you were ever born. Used to be an O-level book, Kez, many years ago, before they had GCSEs. He's the only one I've ever met. Now, I'm surprised you didn't get that one, really. I mean, it's fairly obvious. I got to meet him in my one and only TV appearance, but I won't bother boring you telling you about that. So, the thing you might be wondering is, what, if anything, has this got to do with our subject this evening, which is about a guy who was called Apollos? So let's read a few verses from Acts about Apollos. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. Which, if you think about it for a minute, Egypt's down here on the Mediterranean, Ephesus up here. So it's a fair old trek for him to make the trip. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, boldly preaching in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. So, what was it that Apollos was lacking? Why was it that Priscilla and Aquila had to take him aside? So, here's a few more verses that might give us a bit of a clue about what he was lacking. James writes, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and shudder. And Jesus said these words, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." And he goes on, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" Perhaps what Apollos was lacking was knowing Jesus. You can know about someone. In this day and age, you can know a lot about people. Just about half the world seems to have written their autobiography these days, and loads of them have got their Wikipedia pages. You can know an awful lot about someone. And you can have met someone. But it doesn't mean that you actually know them. And it's possible to come to church services every week, week in, week out, and still never know Jesus. Perhaps that's what Apollos was missing. And Jesus said, you can tell people by their fruit. Another way of saying that perhaps is, when you really know someone, they start to have an effect on you, don't they? Perhaps not quite in this way. Jesus was talking about fruit of lives. But if you know someone, they start to have an effect on you. And if we know Jesus, he starts to have an effect on us. But it's possible, as Jesus said, to prophesy, even to do miracles in his name, but to not actually know him. We used to sing a song quite a lot, don't sing it so much these days, that had these words, "Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing." It is the greatest thing to know Jesus. And if we don't know Jesus, then the biggest thing we can do is to meet him and get to know him. There's no greater thing than knowing Jesus. There's no greater thing to do than introducing someone else to Jesus, which is what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to introduce other people to him. So you're probably wondering now, well, what happened to Apollos? After things were explained to him, what happened next? Now, I did find a clip that I thought I might show you, but I thought, nah, you won't be that interested. It's football and you're probably all footballed out. So I thought, no, we'll just skip straight to the reading. So when Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. One of the differences here then is that Apollos was a one-man band, but now he's part of a church. He's got people who he's encouraging and people who are encouraging him. Being part of a church, Just like with knowing Jesus, it's possible to know a lot about him without ever really knowing him. It's possible to come to church, to come to church services week in, week out, without ever really being part of the church. So then what happened to Apollos? Well, the reading goes on. Well, actually it doesn't, because this is Paul writing in 1 Corinthians. He says this, "For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human beings?" So Apollos goes on to Ephesus, where he obviously becomes very influential in the church. What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So what can we learn from Apollos? And what can we apply to our own lives, perhaps? The first question is, do we know Jesus? Because this is the starting point. And John actually used those words when he was doing communion. Don't know if you noticed that. And he said, if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know Jesus, John said, go and have a word with him afterwards. Funny, isn't it, how John knew exactly what to say at communion. I didn't even give him a prompt. But what about, are you introducing others to Jesus? Some of you know that last year I had three stents put in my heart, which is an interesting procedure. They don't give you anesthetic for that, other than a little local one in your arm, where they then cut a hole in your artery and they take a pipe and they push it up here and round to your heart. And then they get a wire and they push that up through the pipe till it gets to your heart. And on the end of it, they have these little things called stents. And when they get to the end then, they then blow them up inside your heart. You can feel that bit when they do that. So now most weeks I go to a group at the gym, which is just for people who have had what they call cardiac episodes, which ranges from people like me to people who've had heart attacks, triple heart bypasses. And it's a strange environment because, you know, unusually it's 99% men. There are hardly any ladies because coronary problems are more common in men. And because we're going around doing exercise on gym things, you don't talk much with each other, only in little bits. But it's really interesting, you know, as you talk with people in little bits, you find out everybody naturally talks about their spouses because they know them. We often do that, don't we? We talk with other people about people we know, our friends and our family. So it ought to be easy, didn't it, to talk about Jesus if we know Jesus and he's part of our lives. But it isn't always that easy, is it? Are you part of the church? Are you here being encouraged and encouraging other people? Doesn't mean you have to sign up on one of the rotas. We have loads of rotas. If you want to sign up on a rota, feel free. We've got rotas coming out of our ears. But this is about encouraging people and being encouraged, being built up in our spiritual faith, not about planning and sitting on rotas. And are you planting or are you watering when you do that? Are you encouraging people and helping them grow? When it comes to sharing your faith, it's not always easy. But do not worry. Help is at hand. Coming to a church very near you this autumn, talking Jesus. This is a new course about sharing your faith with people you know. It's bang up to date, based on research, and it's British, so you don't have any of those cringeworthy American situations that we've seen in some of the things in the past. So, I'm going to finish, and I'm going to leave you, Josh, if we can play the video, and I hope you'll all be there in the autumn.
So, one of the last things that Jesus said when he was here on the earth was, go and make disciples of everyone.
We're going to be getting inspired to share our faith with those around us, get some practical tips on how to do it, and look at what it is we're exactly sharing.
This is for people like you and me.
We're already the right people in the right place. We're ideal to do mission in normal, everyday life.
You got anyone coming? How about your mates?
Trust me, it's not their thing. They're the last people in the world that want to come.
Ask them.
I find when I talk about Jesus, I feel like I'm involved in something really weighty, you know, something that really matters.
I find that generally people are very open about things of God, and actually they do want to talk about it.
You know, if a friend tells you somewhere's really good, or a family member does, then you're going to want to check it out.
The best recommendation for Jesus is not somebody distant, it's not someone out there, it's your friend, it's your brother.
People, by your lifestyle, will see the different way you live.
Be your authentic, real self, sharing your experience of what it means to walk with Jesus.
And each of us have got stories to tell.
You. A gift.
We're going to be looking at how to share God's story with those around us.
We've been given this responsibility and this privilege of sharing God's love with others.
It's just prayer. You can't get it wrong with prayer. Just find the five people you need to pray for, keep praying for them.
And as you continue to pray for them, God begins to work in your heart as well.
This is Talking Jesus, training Christians to share their faith.